hand. Just remain standing and turn in your Bible, if you will, Matthew chapter number 4. Matthew chapter 4, going back to where we've been studying, and hope that it'll be a blessing and help to you this morning. Amen. Well, I thank the Lord for the trip He allowed Melissa and I to make down to North Carolina. We had a good time there with our grandchildren, got to see all of our grandchildren, and of course got to see the newest one that we hadn't seen yet, and got to spend a little bit of time trying to spoil them. Amen. And had a good time. I'm not sure who got spoiled the most. Amen. But it spoils grandparents when they get around them grandchildren. Amen. But we had a good time, and thank the Lord for allowing us to get back safely last night, and blessing us in the trip and the time there. And I thank the Lord for it. Also, last Sunday night, I went down to, Hartford in the Horse Branch area, preached over there for Brother Gary, and had a good time with them, and got to hear Matt sing. Him and his mom sang a couple of songs over there, and I'm going to break him loose on y'all here for too long. You done a good job. Amen. That song, we get a lot of requests. Did in the afternoon get a lot of requests for the Lamar Sago family. When I look back down the road, they sang that song. Amen. And I didn't feel like getting on the road again when they were singing it. It sounded pretty good. Amen. And I appreciate that. But so we'll get him singing for us here before too long. But I was thankful for that. And then I guess most of you probably know by now, but we reached our goal finally. Amen. It was a little delayed reaction, but we reached our goal on the marathon. Amen. And we was $1,250 short, and Sturgis had already taken up an offering and written a check for $250, and we didn't know it. Of course, they didn't know that was what we, you know, part of what was lacking. And then an anonymous individual pledged the last $1,000. So praise God, amen. We met the goal, and we're rejoicing in the Lord in that, amen. And thank God for His blessings, amen. Pray that God would just continue to bless the radio and use that for His glory and His honor. Amen. All right, having said that, Matthew chapter 4, verses 5 through 7 be our text for this afternoon. And I actually thought and prayed about maybe preaching something different. This is an unusual time. It's not Sunday morning. It's not Sunday night. I actually even studied on something else, but I felt like that the Lord said, no, come back here. And so I got it together, and this is where we are, in spite of the fact that it's on an unusual time. All right, so Matthew chapter number 4 and verse number 5, the Bible says then, and by the way, verse number 5 is where I'm really going to focus this morning, but I want to read these three verses together. Then the devil taketh him up into the holy city, and setteth him on a pinnacle of the temple, and saith unto him, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, He shall give His angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. Jesus said unto him, It is written again, Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Amen. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Brother Hall, would you lead us, please?
Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for the
privilege. Yes, Lord, thank you. Yes. Thank you, Lord. Yes. Yes. Thank you, Lord. Help, Lord. Yes. Please help, Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen. Thank you for standing. You can be seated. I do appreciate that prayer. Amen. This morning I want to begin. We started Sunday night two weeks ago now, on the thought there about the second attack. We maybe say the second round of attack.
that the devil used on Christ. This will be part two, I guess, of that. But I'm thinking about some things that we can learn from this second attack on Christ in the wilderness. Now, I've got five things I want to point out this morning out of verse number five. And that's really the thoughts on my mind. But I'd like for us to take these to heart. We know that we're living in perilous times. Our Lord told us it's going to come. Paul prophesied to Timothy that it's going to come. And as many have said, it has come. We're living in those days when it's... Our world is so topsy-turvy that some things you can't hardly even make sense out of. Which direction that they're going in and things that they're saying. I'll just have to... Just so much that in our world is so confused. Even in the religious world, it's so confusing today. But we know that the devil is attacking like never before. Amen. But here's what it seems to me like. It seems to me like the devil is on a rampage and doing more of his work, but it seems to me like God's people notice it less. It's like that. It's just how it's got to be. We just, you know, cross our arms and just let them fire away. We're just not going to return any fire. We're not going to take a stand. I believe this text is in here to show us we should stand against the wiles of the devil. We can stand against the wiles of the devil. Amen. Christ has withstood and He is our hope. Amen. And because of that, we ought to take a stand against the things of the devil. Amen. Well, we began our study of this second account, or the account of the second temptation. I mentioned to you the differences in Luke's accounting, and really just the timing, the way he laid out the arranging of the timing of these attacks, and I'm not going to return to that, but I tried to give you some information concerning that. I did certify, I do believe that they're both accurate. Neither one of them made a mistake in what they wrote. They're just looking at it in different angles. One gives you the exact timing, the other just gives you the accounts of what took place. And I do believe that both Matthew and Luke's account is accurate. But then we went on to talk about the persistent subtlety of Satan. He is persistent and just keeps sneaking in, as we'd say, a snake in the grass. He just keeps slithering along and pop up his head one place and then disappear for a moment, but he'll pop up again somewhere else down the road. Amen? And I don't know if any of you ever played the whack-a-mole game. Have you ever played that? And I've had the privilege one time being down in southern Kansas and seeing the prairie dogs in the fields out there. It looks like a gigantic whack-a-mole game. You one and then another and then another. I mean, they're all over the place. And, of course, they're trying their best to get rid of them because they are a hazard and very much of a rodent problem that they're having. Well, the devil's that way. The devil is popping up seemingly everywhere all around us one time after another, and he's persistent in doing that. Then we not only talked about the persistent subtlety of Satan, but we talked about the fact that he will pervert the Scriptures. Satan is glad to twist the Scriptures, and we'll look at a little bit more of that as we go along in this temptation. But those things are needful for us to observe and needful for us to keep in our mind. Now, I want to pick back up on these thoughts, and I want to look momentarily at this beginning of this second attack and see some things that we can learn by studying verse number 5 particularly. There's some very interesting observances and facts there, and some very persistent things that we need to look at. They're I'll say not just persistent, but pertinent. They're accurate for us today. The devil hasn't had to change his tactics because his tactics work so well. Amen. They've worked so well. In my daily Bible reading this morning, I read through the part of Judges, actually 11 through 16, in that part where that Samson just could not keep his mouth shut when that woman goes, "Tell me your secret, tell me your secret." What's that mean? Strong, the sweetness out of the strong and meat out of the eater. Tell me. And he couldn't keep a secret. He had to tell her. He saw what happened, and here comes Delilah, and he does the same thing. He cannot keep his mouth shut. You know what? She didn't have to change tactics. The devil don't have to change tactics when they keep on working. Amen. And we see that here in this case, we see a change of tactics. You know why? Because it didn't work on Christ, but it was not a stoppage of what's going on. So the first thing I want you to notice in verse number 5, the very first word, then, and that phrase, then the devil taketh him up into the holy city. So then, after one round, it's almost like the bell rings, maybe they get a breather, and here they are back in the ring again. The devil comes one more time. And I'll say this, I believe it's true that oftentimes temptations and trials may seem to come as waves of the sea. You ever felt like, boy, you just got knocked off your feet with one wave and you just maybe getting your bearings again, and all of a sudden here another one hits you and it's just one after another. Sometimes you say, when is it going to stop, or where is it going to stop? Well, I'm telling you, the devil many times comes at us one time right after another. Just as soon as one woe is passed, another mounts up. Amen. And we see that in this temptation here. I'll say this, that Christians should always, I'll say ever, be alert. Amen. We should always be alert. By the way, that's one thing that I believe that I said, it seems like the devil's attacking more than he ever has, and people pay less attention to it. You know the big deal about, they made a big hoopla about Facebook and these people losing all your secrets are out. People say, we're going to get off Facebook, we're going to get off Twitter, but they ain't. They haven't. It's like they gave up their privacy in order to get the free stuff. And by the way, that's where the politicians have learned that. If you give away free stuff, they'll give you the farm. They'll give you everything. But the thing is that they say, it's like that there's so many attacks on our privacy that why should we even worry about it? It's like there's no need to be vigilant. There's no need. There's a problem, a difficulty of constant vigilance. Being on the alert all the time is a hard thing to do. But as Christians, we have an enemy that is the devil himself. He is our enemy. Therefore, we need to be on constant alert at all times. The enemy of our soul does not rest or does not long remain idle. Amen. He is ever on the job. He is actively conniving to defeat us. He's actively working to try to detour us. He's actively working, trying to detain us from accomplishing and doing the will of God the Father. Amen. Amen. The thief is casing the joint, we'd say it that way. So some of you understand that language. He's casing the joint. He's looking to see if one window's not ajar, maybe the next one is. He's trying that door. If that one's not loose, he'll try another. And he's just going from one to the other, from one to the other, from one to the other. The thief is continuously active, trying to steal, to kill, and to destroy. I'll say this to all of us. Never let your guard down. Never, never grow lax. Never get languid. Never relax. Amen. Keep your alertness. Amen. Continue to be sober and to be vigilant. That's what Peter said. Be sober, be vigilant. Why? For your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walking about seeking whom he may devour. And so we've got to be on the alert. Amen. If I'm walking through the zoo and I know there's a lion there, I'm not going to get too close to it. But I don't have to be too much alert if I know he is encaged. But if I'm in the cage with him, I'm not going to close my eyes for a second. Amen. Amen. We're in this world and the devil is here with us. Amen. Best thing we can do is keep on the alert. Amen. The devil is looking for an opportunity to strike. Amen. He's just waiting for another opportunity. And there's the reason why we need to be on the lookout for the next assault. We are at war. Amen. It's not a game. It's souls. It's your testimony. It's your children. It's your grandchildren. Amen. They're at stake. We're in a war. and we're actually on the battlefield. But so often we forget that. And the devil, somebody said the devil, when he realized that he couldn't destroy the church by killing them, he just rocked them to sleep. And it seems like that's the case in a lot of the cases. Amen. We're just relaxed. Even though the devil is there. We can't allow ourselves to grow languid or relaxed. We're on a battlefield. Just because the enemy is not firing upon us presently does not mean he's not reloading. Does not mean that he has laid his weapon down. It does not mean that he has waved the white flag of surrender. Just because he's not firing in our direction now does not mean that we can give up. Amen. He has not given up. We must keep on alert. Amen. Our Lord has warned us. Turn with me. Well, no, you don't have to turn. I've got a bunch of these verses. I'll just read them to you. It'd be quicker. Matthew chapter number 24. Our Lord said this, verse 43. This is a very pertinent verse. He said, "But know this, that if the goodman of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and would not have suffered his house to be broken up." Amen. Thieves come when you least expect them. They come when they think nobody is around or nobody is awake or nobody is alert. Jesus said you ought to keep your watch because there is a thief. Amen. And thieves break in when the goodman of the house is not watching. Verse number 41 of Matthew 26, our Lord said, "Watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." Again, he said, watch. Amen. Watch. Mark chapter number 13, verse number 37. Jesus said, "And what I say unto you, I say unto all, watch." He said that to all of his disciples, not just the leaders, not just the ones on the fringe. He said, every one of you be alert and be on the lookout. Amen. Can I just plug this here? We need some daddies that's got their head out of the sand and paying attention to what's going on around their family. Amen. But we don't just need daddies doing that. We need mamas doing that. Amen. Because sometimes he's looking in one direction and an enemy may be popping up in another. So it's two are better than one. Amen. Amen. And so we need to be working together in those things. And we'll say that about so many things. We ought to be working together on the watch. Our Lord said, not just to one of you, but he said, what I said to one of you, I say to all of you, watch, keep your eyes open. Is what he said. Again, Mark chapter number 14 and verse number 38, Jesus said, "Watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. The spirit truly is ready, but the flesh is weak." Our Lord said that. Matthew recorded it and Mark recorded it. I thought, you know, that's important enough information that God wanted us to be reminded of it, not just once, but he told us twice. And so we ought to pay attention that he's reminding us again, keep your eyes open. Amen. Be on the lookout. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse number 13 says, "Watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit you like men, be strong." Amen. I like that verse. Watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit you like men, be strong. Amen. Heard a preacher years ago, first revival I had when I started pastoring Vision, he made this comment. He said, "How do men quit?" He said, "If you've ever seen a boxing match," he said, "two men going at it, the way they quit, they stop just long enough to get a breath and to wipe the sweat and blood out of their eyes, and then they go back at it again. That's how men quit. Men don't throw up their hands and say, 'That's it, I'm done. He hit me and I wasn't looking.'" It wasn't fair. Amen. I remember a fellow I worked with in the glass factory, the boss man. The boss man came through and he was one of these fellows, he really thought he was important. He had book learning, but he didn't have much common sense. And he really thought he was important and he knew something. And one day he come over there and he is barking off some stuff. And an older man that was working there, when the boss man left, he said, "You know what?" He said, "I could bring up something to David that he wouldn't appreciate." He said, "I remember when my sister whipped him in elementary school." He said, "My sister whipped him in a fist fight in elementary school." He said, when they went before the principal, said David said, "It wasn't fair. She held me down when she slapped me. Wasn't fair." Listen, the devil don't fight fair, and ain't gonna do us any good to give in Amen. Best thing we can do is just fight back. Amen. And so he said, watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit you like men, be strong. Colossians chapter number 4 and verse number 2 says, continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. I'm just showing you these verses to show you that our Lord said to His 12 disciples, not to one but to all of them, watch, keep your eyes open and be on the alert. Paul said to the church at Corinth, quit ye like men, stand fast in the faith, keep on the watch. Paul said then to the church at Colossae, he said, continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. In other words, don't matter how much time has lapsed, it don't matter where you're at physically, what position you're in, he said all these need to keep their eyes open because the devil may be fixing to mount another attack. Amen. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 5 and verse number 6, Paul said this, therefore let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. That's a good verse for church on Sunday morning. Don't sleep like others are. Let us watch, amen, and be sober. Amen. 1 Peter chapter number 4 and verse number 7. Peter said, and again, I'm showing you, our Lord said it, Paul said it, now Peter said it. He says, but the end of all things is at hand. Be ye therefore sober and watch unto prayer. Amen. The greatest way you can watch for your family is on your knees. Amen. You can see farther. You can see clearer. Amen. You can receive instructions better when you're on your knees talking to your Heavenly Father. I'm not talking about that it's got to physically be on your knees, but you understand, I'm talking about in communication with God. Don't allow sins. Don't allow weights. Don't allow diversions to hold you back and keep you from spending time in prayer about your family. Amen. Amen. And so our Lord said, keep your watch on. Amen. Keep a lookout. Paul said it, and Peter said it. Now, to return to our original point here in verse number 5, just because one wave of attack has passed does not mean we can relax. It's not over and gone. Don't be fooled into thinking that another wave is not already mounting. Amen. The devil is probably going to arrive just any moment. Amen. He's going to attack just any moment. Well, the second thing I want you to notice in verse number 5 is that first phrase, then the devil taketh him up. Now, a couple of things I want to say about that and use these in the devil taketh him up. You see, Christ had successfully beaten back the tempter in the wilderness when the tempter came and said, if thou be the Son of God, command these stones to be made bread. It's as if the devil's saying, I'm trying to help you. You got to survive. It was a battle for existence. And our Lord passed that test. So now, it's not just existence. It's exaltation that the devil starts working on. Amen. And listen, I see it all over our world. All over. And don't get offended at me, but I know this is the truth. Back in the 60s, when the blacks said, we just want to be equal, but now they're not just equal. They can call you words that you can't use. Amen. And I'm not, by the way, I don't think that blacks ought to be beneath us or us above them. We should be equal. God made us. Amen. God made us all. I understand that. But then they came along, equal rights was the big thing. What was they talking about then? It was women. But now they don't just want to be equal. We've come to a day, it's believe all women and suspect all men. And by the way, there's enough suspecting to go around, I understand that. I'm not saying disbelieve all women either. But they get it out of whack. It's not just the level playing ground they're interested in. Then we came along with the Sodomites. The Sodomites said, we just want to be accepted. We just want to be equal. No, they don't just want to be equal. They want to be above. And by the way, all this sectionalization where they're pulling us one and pitting us against the other, tribe against tribe, one tribe's going to always strive to be on the top. Amen. And if you can fit in two or three of those categories, then you can get above some of the others all of a sudden. Amen. And I'm telling you, that's how the devil does. The devil is constantly working at us, constantly working, and he'll try to get us focusing on existence, but then he's going to move on to exaltation. Amen. And that's a big problem, the exaltation. Sometimes the enemy may allow us to win a little victory. Several of you probably played chess before. You may sacrifice a pawn. Amen. You may sacrifice one piece in order to get a better piece, a more powerful part of the opponent's chess pieces. Amen. And the devil may very well let you win one and say, boy, I got by that, so that you're not paying attention where you're stepping next. You get your head held too high, you're not watching where your feet are going. Amen. And so the devil may very well allow us to get a small victory if the procurement of that victory may gain him a toehold, may gain him a foothold in which he can exalt us in pride. Amen. And in our exaltation in pride, we then are ensnared in another temptation. Amen. Amen. Pride's not a good thing. Pride's a bad thing. Matter of fact, God hates pride. We see it all through the Scripture over and over and over again. Sometimes we outsmart the enemy, and we get to thinking we're smarter than the enemy, when the truth is, he may have let you think you outsmarted him in order to get you in that very position. Amen. Amen. Just because we have overcome one temptation, again, just like they come in waves, don't think that it stopped, but also don't think that you've mastered it all. Amen. 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 We had best beware and be on the alert. I remember a man personally told me this story, that he said that he had lived the life of a drunkard. He got in church. He got to doing better. He swore off alcohol, did not drink for years. Kept working at the same place, working around the same guys. They'd always go, they worked third shift, they'd always go in the morning, and they'd go and drink and get drunk in the morning time after working third shift. But he quit that. And he said he went a couple of years like that. And he said, the guy said, come on, go with us. You don't have to drink a beer. You can have milk or you can have a pop. And he said he went with them. And he ordered his pop. And one of them said, come on, just have one beer. You can handle one beer. And here's what the man said. He said, I decided I can. I've been sober for 2 years. I've done good. I haven't drunk one thing. He said, I'll just get one. And he said they had to carry me out of the place. You've heard the saying, nobody ever buys but one beer, and the first beer buys the second, and the second beer buys the third. And that's truth in a lot of cases. Sin has a pull to it. Sin has an ensnaring capability in it. Amen. Amen. To use another analogy that we understand fishing. The fish don't have to swim up to your boat and jump in. All he's got to do is bite the hook way out yonder, and you're going to pull him in. At least you're going to do your best. I'm telling you, the devil, you don't have to bring the devil into your living room. Sometimes we do. You don't have to bring the devil into your living room. He'll be happy for you to take the bait way out yonder somewhere. But when you do, he's going to start pulling and tugging and pulling. And that's exactly what sin does. Amen. And so, again, we may think we've outsmarted him. Amen. We may think that we've overcome him, but our pride will lead us to a place that the devil gets the advantage over us. Amen. Notice the Lord took him up. He exalted him to that pinnacle of the temple. He brought him up into a high place. Amen. And it's almost as if the devil's showing the Lord, or trying to say to the Lord, I can exalt you. You don't have to obey God. God's not the only one that can exalt you. I can exalt you. By the way, we all know that there was no pride in Christ. He didn't fall for this temptation. He wasn't about to fall for this temptation. There was no pride in him. But we also know, if we're honest, that we can't say the same. All of us, and there's a certain place, we use the word pride. I'm not sure pride is the right word to use, but there's a certain place where you ought to have some self-respect. You ought to have some dignity about yourself. Is that, I think that'd be the right thing to say. It's right to have some dignity. There are some people that have no dignity, and yet they got pride. But what we ought to do is we ought to have some self-respect, that there ought to be some things that we say, I am not going to do. I'm not going that route. Those are things that I personally don't intend on ever being involved in to the least. There are some things I don't even like to joke about. Amen. Amen. I don't think it's good, because I think sometimes, and I could give you illustrations I won't, because again, it might just be opening a door. But there's things that I think that it's best just to leave it alone. Paul said, don't even talk about the things they're doing. Amen. Some things it's better off just to leave alone in that. But Christ, there was no pride in Christ. And yet, there could very easily be some dangerous pride lurking in our breast. Could very easily be some pride found in you or I. Therefore, we better be on the alert. Again, I've got several verses. I'm not going to have you turn. I'll be glad to give you these list of verses after the message if you'd like to. But Proverbs chapter 11 verse 2 says, when pride cometh, then cometh shame, but with the lowly is wisdom. Right. Amen. I guess for a man or a woman to aspire to be president, leader of a great nation like America, I guess there has to be some amount of pride in them. But there was one man recently that just reeked in it. I mean, you just see by the way he held his head and looked up above everybody else. And he was just so proud. And I don't know that he had anything to be proud of. Amen. But I'll be honest, the one we got now seems to have a whole lot of pride. And it's not a good thing. It's not a good thing. Amen. It's going to cause a snare down the road. That's what Proverbs says. When pride cometh, then cometh shame, but with the lowly is wisdom. Proverbs 16:18, pride goeth before destruction. We know that verse well. And an haughty spirit before a fall. Proverbs 29:23, a man's pride shall bring him low, but honor shall uphold the humble in spirit. Psalm 73, verse 6, therefore pride compasseth them about as a chain. Violence covereth them as a garment. Pride gets a hold of them as a chain. Amen. Right. Proverbs 8:13 says, the fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Pride and arrogancy and the evil way and the froward mouth do I hate. So all these evil things, and the first one he mentions is pride. To fear the Lord is to hate evil. Amen. To walk with God is to hate pride. That's what he's talking about. And then Psalm 37 verse 11 says, let not the foot of pride come against me, and let not the hand of the wicked, let not the hand of the wicked remove me. That's it. Let not the foot of pride come against me, and let not the hand of the wicked remove me. Solomon's wisdom in the book of Proverbs tells us that pride is destructive. That's wisdom. The psalmist tells us that we ought to pray that pride not get a foothold around us, that he not get his foot in the door of our heart. Sometimes we are praised. Amen. You get in places and people, they praise you. And I think I think you ought to give flowers while they're living, and there's a place that you ought to give commendations. But sometimes if you feel yourself getting a little bit enjoying that, you might ought to deflate your balloon just a little bit. You might ought to take steps and maybe even pray and say, Lord, help me. Help me not to believe. Because, by the way, you probably know yourself better than they do. Amen. Truth is, if people knew us like we know ourselves, they probably wouldn't think as highly of us as they do. Amen. And so it'd be good for us to recognize, I don't want pride to get a foothold in the door of my heart. Amen. So the first thing we notice is that one wave follows another. Second thing we notice is that the devil taketh them up. He exalts and moves from talking about existence to talking about exaltation. The third thing is in that same phrase, then the devil taketh him up. As I look at Christ up on that pinnacle of the temple, the devil took him there. It looks, and I alluded to this already, it looks as if Satan is saying, you don't have to trust God. You don't have to obey God. If you'll trust me, if you'll obey me, I have the ability to exalt you. So many people want to get rich quick. Amen. A lot of people get the idea if they can get rich without working, they want one four-letter word, rich, without the other four-letter word, work, and it hardly ever happens. I read something the other day that blew my mind. It said, around the world, 98% of millionaires, 98% of millionaires inherited zero. 98%. They made themselves millionaires. Well, if I could just get a windfall. You ever seen people get a windfall? You know what they do? Easy come, easy go. Generally, that's the principle. Yeah, they waste it because they don't know what it's worth. They didn't work for it. They didn't labor for it. They don't know what it's worth. But I'm telling you, my point of that, and of course that all goes to the gambling industry. That's the whole mentality of the gambling industry. But the devil's idea is this. Do it my way. You don't have to do it God's way. What was God's way? God said, Adam, you work. By the way, work was not the curse. Adam was tending the garden before the curse ever came along. Adam had to work. He just didn't have to sweat as much. He didn't have to work as hard before. Amen. Amen. God put him in the garden and told him to dress it before Adam ever fell. Amen. Work's not the curse. There's been a curse put on it that causes it hard labor. Amen. Hard labor may be the curse. But the devil says he can exalt. And so the devil seeks to give promotion. And there are cases in which men and women allow the devil to give them promotion. Not all that many years ago, people were putting out these things that a lot of these singers, quote unquote, had made a contract with the devil. They had sold their soul to the devil. I remember several different ones that made the statement. They said that they sold their soul to the devil in order to get the promotion. But it could be anything. It could be sports. It could be business. It doesn't have to be rock music, for example. It could be anything. That the devil wants you to do it his way rather than going God's way. And he says to you, I can exalt you. If you'll just work on the Lord's day, I can exalt you. If you'll just cheat a little bit and do a little underhanded dealings over here, I can exalt you. Those are the lies of the devil. And by the way, he exalts some. He exalts them. He puts them on the pinnacle of the temple. And when they get up there, you know what he says? Jump down. And a bunch of them do. A lot of them do. Because they see the families they've busted. They see the years they've wasted. They see the things they've done. And they can't live with themselves. Because they follow the devil's route to get exalted. The devil loves to do that. Turn with me to Isaiah chapter number 14. We'll read some scriptures. I'm working my way to the end. Isaiah chapter number 14. Is the only account in the Bible of the name Lucifer being used. And it's the account of Lucifer falling. We believe that to be an account of the devil. He became known as Satan. Isaiah 14, verse number 12. He's gone on before that talking about the pomp and the beauty and on and on. But he says in verse number 12, how art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. You see what happened? Satan exalted himself. He thought to exalt himself, and God said, I'm going to take you down. And he hasn't changed his tactics. You remember when Satan talked to Eve? He made Eve this is a car salesman technique right here. He said, if you'll just buy what I'm selling, it's going to be the best thing you ever have seen. I don't know how you've lived without it this long. God's been withholding it from you. But if you'll just listen to me, if you'll just obey me, if you'll just believe me and take this fruit, I will exalt you. By taking this fruit, you'll be like gods, knowing good from evil. But we have a word for that. It's not called exaltation. Because when Eve partook of that fruit, gave it to Adam, Adam partook of that fruit, they weren't exalted. It's called the fall. Because the devil always inverts. He's a liar. He's a trickster about everything he does. He says, I'll take you up. But the truth is, if he does get you up any at all, it's just to bring you down. Amen. He's a deceiver. He's a thief. Amen. Just a thief. Well, I'll say this. His promised exaltation was in reality a fall, and it always is. Young people particularly, pay attention. Listen, the lies of the devil, the lies of this world, that you don't have to listen to that Bible. You don't have to listen to the rules and regulations. You can do your own thing. Winds up destroying people. Amen. Well, the devil taketh him up, and taketh him up, and taketh him up. Amen. The devil took him up into that high city, and or that high pinnacle in the holy city. Let me give you this other thing here, the fourth thing here. The devil exalted him, saying, I can exalt you. But he hid the fact that there was a price to his exaltation. Very few people offer you anything for nothing. Amen. They're going to come give you free estimates on putting windows in your house. They're figuring on selling you something. They're not just happily going from house to house giving free estimates on windows. Amen. That's right. They're figuring on selling you something. Probably selling you more than what you would originally go out and buy. Amen. And so that's the idea of the devil. The devil says, I can exalt you. And in reality, there can be some exaltation from the devil. But there's a horrible price to be paid. The Word of God says this. He says in Psalm 37, verse 34, wait on the Lord and keep His way, and He shall exalt thee to inherit the land. When the wicked are cut off, thou shalt see it. The psalmist said, God said, wait on God. God will exalt you in His time. Amen. Psalm 75, verse 6 and 7. For promotion cometh neither from the east, nor from the west, nor from the south. But God is the judge. He putteth down one and setteth up another. Amen. Let the exalting be done by the hand of God. Amen. Rather than fall in prey to the lies of the devil. My last point, and I'll be done. Look at verse number 5 again. Matthew chapter 4, verse number 5. One more portion of Scripture I want to bring out and make comment on. Then the devil taketh him up, and look at these next four words, into the holy city. Do you find it amazing that the devil had access to the holy city? He not only had access to the holy city. By the way, what made it holy? God made it holy. It was Jerusalem. It's the city of God. But he not only had access to the holy city, he had access to the holy house in the city. I heard Ben gave us a CD of a preacher revival there in North Carolina. And he's preaching about those men coming to Lot's house. And he made this statement. He said Lot wasn't much of a Christian, but he was the only Christian in Sodom. And listen and follow me with this, because this will play into this point. He said Lot wasn't much of a Christian, but he was the only Christian in Sodom. He's the only person in Sodom apparently that knew God. He had the only Christian home. As far as you can tell, he had the only girls that was pure in all of Sodom. And guess whose door the Sodomites beat down? Here's what he said. He said, sin is never happy taking every other family from your church. He wants your family. He's right. The devil will never be satisfied taking the city of Madisonville if he don't get your house. Amen. He wanted access to the holy city, and he wanted access to the holy house. Amen. And there he took our Lord and set him on that pinnacle of the temple. Can I say this? The devil is not afraid to handle holy things so long as he can mishandle them. Amen. Amen. He's not afraid to be in the midst of holy things. Amen. If he can twist them, if he can use them to his own purpose, he's happy to do it. Amen. Matter of fact, I think it makes the devil very proud, very happy when he can go right amidst the holy things and pervert things there. Amen. Amen. I put this note in here. I believe it brings Satan great pleasure to hijack terms meant for God. Terms meant for righteousness, and use them in his own evil and wicked means. For example, don't you think it pleases the devil for people to call the Catholic Church the Holy Catholic Church? What's holy about that? Amen. Or to call the devil's ministers Holy Father? Amen. Or to call the devil's books Holy Bible. Last week, or 2 weeks ago, I got to talking about where I read where one of the representatives wouldn't refuse to be sworn in on a Bible. She wanted to be sworn in on a Koran. They said that was her holy book. I made the comment, the Koran's not a holy book. The Book of Mormon's not a holy book. Amen. For people to call those, best way I can say it, those works of the devil, to call those holy books, you know that pleases the devil. It puts a smile on his face. Amen. What about calling the perverted union of two men or two women and call that holy matrimony? The devil loves it, but it don't make it so. Amen. He loves it. Satan can handle the very word of God so long as he can twist it to make it say what he wants it to say. Satan can approach the very house of God so long as he is careful to work his own works there. Amen. What's the works of the devil in the house of God? He wants to cause diversion, and he wants to cause division. Right. He wants to cause people to get upset with one another. There to be a falling out one with another. And I could go on and on and on about that. But let me just say this. I find it both amazing and highly interesting that in our Lord's earthly ministry on earth, when he was in the temple and when he was in the synagogues, he met with devils in those very places. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, all four of the Gospels, don't tell us a lot of the same things. Matthew, Mark, and Luke are called the Synoptic Gospels because they pretty much cover all the same grounds. John's very different from them. But all four of them do tell us of an account when Jesus took cords and made a scourge and ran, if I could say it this way, some devils out of the house of God. I know they were men, but they were money changers. They were wicked men. They were using the very people of God, mistreating the holy things of God right in the temple, and Christ had to run them out. All four of them mentioned that. Why? To remind us the devil is happy to make his place right in the house of God if he can, as long as he can do what he wants to do. Right. Amen. The book of Mark, turn with me to Mark chapter number 1. I'll just read you this one account of our Lord finding a devil in the very synagogue. Now, I'll admit, I didn't find any unclean spirits. That kind of devil's in the temple itself. There's Pharisees there. There's a guy there praying in pride. Our Lord talked about two men went to the temple to pray. You remember that? That's a devil, but it's a human devil. And there's a lot of them around. Amen. But I didn't find any spirit devils in the temple, but we do in the synagogue. Mark chapter number 1 and verse number 21, the Bible says, "And they went into Capernaum, and straightway on the Sabbath day he entered into a synagogue and taught. And they were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one that had authority and not as the scribes. And there was in their synagogue a man," look at this, underline it, "with an unclean spirit. And he cried out," not just a man crying out, the spirit cried out, "saying, Let us alone. What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Art thou come to destroy us? I know thee who thou art, the Holy One of God." I like verse 25, "And Jesus rebuked him, saying," two commandments, look at them. Number one, "Hold thy peace." We'd say, "Shut up." Amen. And secondly said, "And come out of him." Here's why I said that about shut up. The devil, somehow the devil had the ability to be in the very house of God, when the very Son of God was behind the pulpit, when the very Son of God was teaching the very Word of God. But when he started mouthing his doctrine, Jesus stopped his mouth. Amen. That is one thing we need to be careful of in the house of God. Amen. We need to be careful that we don't allow the devil to spread his doctrine. It can happen in the best of churches. Amen. I believe we got to be vigilant of that. That's one of the things I see that I can point to here. But they said, that devil cried out saying, "Let us alone. Let us alone." And boy, I could push that right down. That's what the devil says. When the Lord starts dealing with you about your soul, the devil says, "Just get out. If he'll just leave you alone. Just leave you alone." You don't want God to leave you alone. Amen. Well, I'm simply saying that the devil and his crew are not bashful about using God's things or even God's house in order to suit their purposes. Amen. As a matter of fact, when our Lord gathered, and if I could say handpicked, 12 disciples, you know that one of them was a devil. Amen. Amen. He didn't just become a devil. He was a devil from the beginning, the Bible said. Amen. We need not be surprised when Satan raises his unholy head right in the midst of God's house. Amen. That's one more reason why we need to be on guard and why we need to be alert against the devil. That's one more reason why we need to be in prayer for our families, and we need to be in prayer for our church. Amen. Amen. That we might be protected from the snare of the devil. That we might be protected from the desires of the devil. You remember this? I've got this verse down here. Our Lord said in Luke 22, 31 and 32, "And the Lord said, Simon, Simon," you remember what follows, "Behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he might sift you as wheat. But I prayed for you. I prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren." Amen. I'm saying this as a warning to us, to Island Ford Baptist Church. I think we got a good church. I do. God's blessed you through the years, and God's allowed it to stay a good church. But the devil ain't going to give up easily.
Right. Amen.
Amen. Just because he didn't win last year or the year before or the year before or the year before or the decade before, don't mean that he's not going to keep on trying. Amen. And what he does, he'll work sometimes right in the church to pull one family against another family, or to take one family out, cause one problem after another. Amen.
Right.
Amen. Let me stop right there, but let's dwell on these. These are all found in verse number 5 of Matthew chapter number 4. These statements: the devil took him up into the holy city and set him on a pinnacle of the temple. My recommendation to us is that we draw close to God. That we draw nigh to God, and that we draw nigh to one another in prayer. That we hold one another up in prayer. That we might escape Satan's clutches. That we not allow pride to enter in and get a foothold in our heart. That we not grow lax or languid or lazy, thinking that Satan wouldn't attack us again. Amen. I'm convinced there are some people through the past I've seen that they thought that because they was in a good church and their kids were in Christian school, they is guaranteed to come out saved by the grace of God. It don't work that way. You don't learn to become a Christian. You got to be born again. Amen. You got to be born again. Well, we got to be careful that we don't fall prey to Satan's lies about promoting us with his power. That we don't allow the devil or his minions to gain access to our house of worship. Amen. Amen. I thought about some ways the devil gets access. When we bring in the devil's music, we're giving him access to our church. Amen. When we bring in the devil's perverted books, we give access to our church. When we bring in movies or watch sports events in the church, I know the radio news said that churches using the Super Bowl. I ain't got over that yet. That sticks in my craw, fellas. Amen. God didn't say that He chose the foolishness of Super Bowls to win the lost. Amen. And by the way, in order to watch it, I would think you got to watch the cheerleaders. I would think you got to watch the advertising. Amen. We're allowing the devil to have access when we bring these things into the house of God. Amen. Let me give you one final way that we allow the devil to get access, and we don't often think about it. When we allow disagreements or anger to go unreconciled among one another. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 4. I'll close with this verse of Scripture. Two verses. Ephesians chapter 4. When we allow anger to go unchecked or disagreements to go unreconciled, we give place to the devil. That's the very words that are used in Ephesians chapter 4. Verse number 26 and 27. He says, "Be ye angry and sin not." So he didn't say don't get angry, but he said even when you do get angry, don't get so angry that you allow sin to come in. All right. Then he goes on to say, "Let not the sun go down upon your wrath." In other words, don't stay angry long. Work it out. Amen. I don't expect that all of you agree with me all the time, except my wife. Amen. I don't expect any two of us to agree on everything all the time. But we don't have to stay at each other's throats. We don't have to get mad and hold a grudge. Amen. We don't have to snub our nose and wish that I didn't even have to see that person. They just make me so mad just to have to look at them. That kind of thing. Amen. Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down on your wrath. Now look at that next phrase, verse 27. And it's part of the same sentence. Neither give place to the devil. Because when we get mad and we allow sin to enter in, we've given the devil room. Because when we have unreconciled differences and we don't work to make it right, We've given the devil room to work in our family, to work in our church, to cause somebody to fall that might have been working their way up to an exalted position. Let's stand to our feet, heads bowed and eyes closed, as they come with a song. Invitation time. This is why I felt like the Lord wanted me to go and preach it. And today of all days, because we're not on the radio. I don't know of a situation. If I did, I'd be trying to help with it. I don't know of it, but I do know this. I know the devil. I know how he works. And I know he's not going to quit doing what he does, because he does it so well. Maybe if there's not a problem that needs to be fixed, then there's a warning to be on the lookout, lest a problem arise that we've not dealt with or we're not willing to deal with. Amen. Heavenly Father, I pray you'd take these words and apply them to every heart, particularly to the members of the Island Ford Baptist Church. Lord, I pray that every dad would be on the lookout for the enemy attacking his family. I pray that every mom would be on the lookout for the enemy attacking her family. Lord, I pray that every member would be on the lookout for the devil attacking our church, for the devil working his way in, the devil working his deeds and doing his thing. Lord, keep us from the diversion and the division. And help us, Lord, not to be detoured. Help us, Lord, not to be detained. Lord, help us go forth for the glory of God. As one song said, Lord, help us to march as a holy army. Help us to stand for God and help us to take some of those that have been fallen prey to the devil. Help us to rescue the perishing and bring them into the fold. Father, help us to gain ground for the cause of Christ. The devil gains ground across Madisonville, across Kentucky, across America. Lord, let us at least tend our own pea patch. Help us at least stand and fight for the things that are of value right here within our grasp. Help us to take a stand. Lord, I pray you get glory. Keep us, Lord, from pride. Keep us from relaxing, getting soft. Keep us, Lord, from division and backbiting. Lord, keep us in prayer, watching unto prayer. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to pray. We're going to sing. And if you need to come, if you're not saved, I encourage you. I beg you, come to Christ today. If you're saved, there's a devil doing his best to bring you down. We're going to sing. If you need to come, would you obey the Lord?